So a few weeks ago, Pastor Glenn asked me if I would fill in for him today while he was gone. So I said, okay. I've been known to drop things while speaking in front of people. So just be ready for anything. I don't spit. I had a professor in college who spit. So if you knew, like if you had been there for a while, you knew like not to sit in this area here because it was kind of like the splash zone at SeaWorld. So don't worry, Aram, you're safe. I won't spit. When I was a kid, I used to play a lot of basketball. That was actually really the only sport that I really played. Sometimes I was on my own a lot because the other guys, they like to follow the seasons, you know, so during football season or baseball season, they'd be playing football or on the baseball diamond or whatever, but I would just play basketball, so I'd be out there on the court, you know, by myself shooting around until basketball season, then everybody else would join me, and so that was fun. I was pretty good, you know. I had a pretty good jump shot. I had a pretty sweet hook shot that was basically undefendable, you know, you can't really, and I would sink it. It was pretty good. But I would have troubles driving it in for a layup because I really basically I had one kind of move when it came to driving it in. And so if I was playing with people who had played with me before meaning like more than 5 or 10 minutes, then I'd have problems because that one move, after they knew what that one move was, then I was kind of sunk. I was quick, so if I was faster than the defender, it was okay, because I could just zip around them. But if they were as fast as I was, or if they were faster than I was, and they already knew my one move, then I couldn't drive it in. I would have to either take, like an outside shot or pass it to somebody. I used to watch a lot of basketball, every Sunday morning during basketball season. It was the NBA on NBC. Da, 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 da. I don't know if anybody remembers the little song. I love that little song. Da, 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 da. One day I was actually reading some sports news, and there was an interview of Michael Jordan. And the interviewer was talking about Michael Jordan's uncanny ability to like just destroy the defense. Michael Jordan would be like going into the hoop and there'd be like 4 or 5 guys, you know, in his way. And the next thing anybody would know is that he would be hanging from the rim and everybody's, you know, looking around saying, what just happened? Because nobody knew what just happened. And there's an amazing video that I was watching on Sunday called Michael Jordan Top 50 All-Time Plays. It's on YouTube. If you like basketball, you should definitely check it out because it's incredible. Just the way that he gets by the defenders, he'll be going up for, it looks like he's going up for a dunk, and he does all this in the air. He's going up for the dunk, and there's like 3 guys in front of him, and there's no way he can dunk it, and then all of a sudden he like brings his arms down and does like a reverse layup, and no one, you know, saw that coming. Like he's going right down the middle and he goes up for a dunk, and again there's like 3 or 4 guys in front of him, and oops, he doesn't have the ball anymore, and the guy right behind him, you know, sinks a jump shot. Nobody saw that coming. So yeah, whoa is right, I agree. So the interviewer was really trying to get at how Michael Jordan, you know, arguably the best basketball player of all time, how he was able to get around the defenders the way that he did. And his answer has always really intrigued me. It stuck with me all these years because he actually gave away his secret, which, you know, you may question the wisdom of that, but I don't think it did anybody any good, because here was Michael Jordan's secret. His secret was that he himself did not know what he was going to do before he did it. And his rationale behind this was, if I don't know what move I'm going to make, there's no way that the defense is going to be able to predict what move I'm going to make. And, you know, unlike me with my one move, there was no prediction involved, you just knew. Right? With Michael Jordan, he didn't know what he was going to do, nobody else knew what he was going to do, and so when he did it, everyone was like, what's going on? What just happened? And, you know, to me, this makes complete sense that strategy worked so well for Michael Jordan, because as humans, we really don't do very well with unpredictable situations. We like it when we know what's happening, we know what happened, we know what's happening now, and we know what's happening next. Unpredictability makes us uncomfortable. It gives us a little bit of anxiety when we don't know what's going to happen next. And you may be thinking to yourself, oh no, not me. I'm spontaneous. Actually, last night I went out to eat and I didn't even know where I was going. I just got in the car and I went. Wow, you know, adventurous. And I'm going to do it for my next dinner too. Well, what if you don't know whether or not you're going to be eating your next dinner? Are you okay with that? Or what if you don't know where you're going to be living next year or next month or next week or tomorrow? Are you okay with that? Are you that spontaneous? I would think that for each of us, we have kind of a threshold, and it's different for everybody, this threshold of unpredictability that we're able to handle. Some of you here, you know, maybe have your weekends planned out, like, down to the minute for weeks in advance. It's, you know, very possible. I know people like that. That's cool. That's fine. Some of you here, maybe you don't know what you're going to be doing this afternoon. That's also cool. But I would imagine that each of us has kind of a threshold of unpredictability. And once we reach that certain threshold, we kind of have to say, well, okay, let's figure out what's going on here. Because at some level, we each become uncomfortable with a certain amount of unpredictability. I think that it's this need, this kind of inherent need for predictability that makes us a little bit uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is unpredictable. And therefore, a Spirit-led life is unpredictable. Jesus actually said it himself in the verses that Marty read for us there. Why don't we turn there together and we'll take a look at this story. John chapter 3, we'll start reading in verse 1. John chapter 3, verse 1. And this is a little bit into Jesus' ministry here. He's already done some things that have turned some heads, you know, gotten a little bit of attention, especially from the Jewish rulers, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious teachers. And we'll pick up this story here. John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And we'll get back to that point. Verse 2, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And this is kind of, and rightly so, this is kind of the main point that we usually dwell on when we read this passage. It's kind of Jesus' main point. You know, you have to be born again, you have to be converted, etc. But moving on from there, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So Jesus is saying the Spirit is unpredictable. The wind blows wherever it wishes. And actually the word wind here, Jesus is making a pun. In Hebrew, in English we use puns when we're wanting to be silly and like dumb. But in Hebrew and in Greek they use puns when they're trying to make like poetic points. They use puns in their poetry. And Jesus is actually making a pun here, so it's a pretty good pun because the word for wind is the same word as spirit. And actually, in Genesis, when it says God breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils, that word breath also means spirit. It's the same word. Just kind of a side note there. So Jesus is saying the spirit is unpredictable. It's like the wind blowing wherever it wants, and you don't know where it's going or where it came from. So it is also with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Spirit-led life is unpredictable. Jesus' response here is even more interesting when we consider who he's talking to. Back to verse 1, it says that Nicodemus was a man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews. And that's generally taken to mean that Nicodemus was probably sitting on the council, the Jewish council called the Sanhedrin, which they were basically in charge of Jewish religious life and making, setting up the policies that governed everyday life. And they were, I would say that they were a predictable organization. They depended on the rules, basically. Rules and processes that they had set up. How many, Nick, did they have? 613 is, yeah, we've been talking about this a lot in Sabbath school. They had all these extra things, not just the Ten Commandments, not just the ceremonial laws that you find in Leviticus. They had approximately 613 extra things that they kind of made into this rule book of how to live your everyday life. And really, any kind of an organization like that depends on having certain accepted procedures. You know, churches too, corporations, companies, we all have these certain kinds of accepted processes and procedures. Actually, the chief of staff at the bank where I work, she's kind of obsessed with procedures. And no, really, she is. And we just had this big like initiative to document everything. And we have these things. She really likes these things called process maps. And I'll show you kind of a basic one here. This is a basic process map. You have like a beginning point, right? An end point. And then you have steps, step one, two, three, however many steps in the middle. And really complicated ones, like they have different lanes with the arrows going to the different, you know, people who are involved. And we've just, at our bank, we've been making hundreds of these. And we have like this special program called Visio, $800 per user for this program just to write process maps. And it's good, you know, because you know, if anybody gets confused, which, come on, we're easily confused, we humans. If anybody gets confused, it's okay. What step are you on? Oh, step two. Well, next step is step three. Great. No problem. Confusion is over. There's nothing, nothing unpredictable here, right? Step one, step two. Perfect. No anxiety about what's coming up next. No discomfort about unpredictability because it's all like set down, boom, boom, boom. Perfect. Good. This, you know, We like to know what's coming up next. And when we don't know what's coming up next, it causes a discomfort about what we should be doing right now. And the Pharisees, you know, they certainly didn't like not to know what was coming up next. They're just like us, really. They have the sad misfortune of kind of being the people whose example not to follow for the rest of history. But really, you know, they were just like us. They were humans. And they liked predictability. So they made this whole procedure manual with all these processes. They invented all these rules, you know, to govern themselves and Jewish society. Well, how do I keep the Sabbath? Okay, step one, don't kindle a fire. You know, that was one of them. Step two, don't go more than a day's journey. Step three, you know, go to synagogue by, you know, 9 a.m., whatever. They had all these perfect things. And if anybody's confused about what to do, well, it's okay. What step are you on? Step three. Okay, well, next step is step four. No more confusion. Perfect. They figured out a way to banish unpredictability from their lives. At least, so they thought. Really, though, it was really more than just a rule book for them. It was really a handbook for salvation. Because if I know that all I have to do to be saved is right here, you know, all I have to do is follow, you know, step one, go through the end, then it's good. It's my own step-by-step to salvation, kind of like a self-help book or something, you know, like rock hard abs in 10 weeks, or, you know, 15 steps to, you know, better living. Well, 613 steps to salvation, done. It's in our hands, right? There's no anxiety. In fact, I think that's probably one of the biggest anxieties in society throughout all of history is what's going to happen to me when I die? What is my eternal destiny? That I think is what causes people the most anxiety. But not the Pharisees, because, or so they pretended or put on, because they had it all right here. They knew exactly what was going to happen because they could say, oh, I've done everything that I need to do, so there is no more unpredictability about my eternal destiny. I've got it. Of course, the problem that the Pharisees didn't understand is that the Bible is not a procedure manual for salvation. The Bible is meant to lead us into a relationship with God. Jesus actually said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, if you have the same philosophy as the scribes and the Pharisees and you hear that, you think, oh man, how am I going to exceed? They did everything perfect. There's no way that my righteousness is going to exceed the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, well, let's see. They had 613. I could manage maybe 620. You know, that way I'll go above and beyond what they had. Well, that's not the point. The point was that the Bible is not a procedure manual. The Bible is meant to bring us into a relationship with Jesus. If it were a procedure manual, it might look something like this. Steps to hearing God's voice. Step one, kill somebody. Step two, run away and herd sheep. You might know, some of you out there might recognize this story already. Step three, find a talking bush and do what it says. Of course, this is if you're not familiar with the story, this is basically the story of Moses. He committed an act of murder. He ran away out into the desert for 40 years, and God spoke to him out of the burning bush, and that's how he knew it was God's will to go out and, you know, lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And it was this amazing story about an incredible man who followed God's will. And if the Bible was a procedure manual, that's all we would need, is really one story. you know, here's step one, here's step two, and then step three. Anybody found a talking bush, or are we all still waiting? No? That's because that's not how it works. The Bible is full of stories of God talking to people in various ways, at various times, various kinds of people, and asking them to do various kinds of things. Moses had no idea what God was getting him into, but he followed. Abraham had no idea what God was getting him into when God said, "Abraham, leave your home." Abraham didn't scratch himself on the head and say, "Okay, leave my home. This must mean it's time for me to go find my talking bush." No, he didn't know what he was getting himself into. But he followed because he had a relationship with God, and when God called him, he recognized his voice and he went. So you mean God might speak to me in an unexpected way? Yeah. You mean he might ask me to do an unexpected thing? Yeah. You mean the Christian life is unpredictable? Well, no thanks. I think I'll stick to what I know. It's easier, less anxiety. Okay, well, if you want that kind of relationship, it might look something like this. Steps to a good relationship with your wife. This is good. Step one, a good day with your wife. Say good morning. Step one. Step two, brush teeth. Very important step. Step two, brush teeth. Step three, good morning kiss. Never put step three before step two. Step four, inquire about quality of sleep. Well, how did you sleep last night? And, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You get the point, right? Romantic guy, ladies, yes? No, that is called a dead relationship. Let's see, we're on step five. We can't hold hands yet. That's a dead relationship. And if that's the way we approach religion, then we have a dead religion. Because we are not being led by the Spirit, because the Spirit is unpredictable, and the Spirit-led life is also unpredictable. So, what about my salvation then? Does that mean that I just have to live with the anxiety of not knowing my eternal destiny? Well, here's the good news, the gospel, if you will. The only thing about a Spirit-led life that is 100% predictable is our salvation. If you don't believe me, read Romans chapter 5, one of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible. It says that, therefore, being justified by faith, we are one with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us in the past. He did it. It's done. It doesn't say we will be one with God. It doesn't say we should be one with God. It says, being justified by faith, we are one with God. It's done. All you have to do is say yes. So that's not unpredictable at all. The Pharisees had it completely wrong. Their salvation was bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. They just had to say okay. There was nothing else to guarantee. There is no way to add or subtract from our salvation. All we do is say yes. And then after that is the exciting part. Because the wind blows wherever it wants. The Spirit takes you wherever it wants, wherever it needs you to go. The Spirit-led life is unpredictable. If you've never read the book of Acts, read it this week. 28 chapters, 4 chapters a day. Done in a week. It's one of the best books in the Bible because it is so full of all these crazy stories about the Holy Spirit leading His church. Lots of hardship, yeah. Lots of persecution, yeah. But miracles, man. God's Spirit working in ways that you can't even imagine. Incredible stories. So check it out. Amazing stories. Is it unpredictable? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely unpredictable. When Jesus went back into heaven and the disciples said, is it time now to set up your kingdom? They had no idea what it was going to be like next. And if they had an idea what it was going to be like next, I'm not sure that any of them might have stuck around, because it might have been too much for them to realize all of these incredible changes that were coming. That's why God leads us step by step. So here's a challenge then. If you've never accepted the truths in Romans chapter 5, do that first. Realize that your salvation is done and paid for, that God loves you so much that He saved you, that He sent His Son to die for you. And there's nothing at all that you can do to add to your salvation, and there's nothing at all that you can do to subtract from your salvation. And then if you've accepted God's salvation, pray for the Holy Spirit to guide in your life. You want steps? We can do steps. We can make some money off of this. We can do like a seminar or something. Three steps. You ready? Three steps to a Spirit-led life. Step one, accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. Step two, put your life in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Step three, hold on tight.